to another edition of To Homer and Back, the official podcast of Streaking the Lawn. Thanks for joining us. My name is Pierce. I've got the normal crew with me, the A-team, the top string for the podcast. Caroline, how's it going?
It's good. I'm really excited to spend this whole time talking about the latest episode of The Bachelor.
It was boring. It was. The only good part was Jasmine threatening to choke him. That was hilarious.
I don't know. He kicked off a lot of people and wore tank tops, so...
I guess that's entertaining. Matt, how are you?
We might never beat Syracuse again. And I'm just accepting that.
Yeah, and it's your fault.
No, Pitt was my fault.
No, Syracuse is also your fault.
Yeah, that's true. But we might also continue always beating Louisville, question mark? So
right,
we can kind of take that trade, I think.
How happy were you to not have the lead at the half against Louisville? Seriously.
I was just happy that Louisville didn't play zone.
They played a little bit of it.
Yeah, they did a little matchup zone.
Yeah. I am shocked at the infrequency teams throw zone at us because we always look pretty bad. Well, except for that first half last year against Syracuse.
First half this year, too. We're a great first half zone team.
They look...
Wasn't the second half against Tech good?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a good reason why every team doesn't throw zone is because some teams are terrible. But
yeah, like, really bad at it.
If you took a team that was good and, you know, taught them to play zone, I think it would be more effective, even if you were normally a man-to-man team. I think coaches might be a little too stubborn in general. You know, I would never ask Tony Bennett to play zone in such a situation because he never would. And he doesn't take my calls. But
he has once, didn't he? Wasn't there a game last year where he was like, so it was in that stretch of losses on the road. Yeah.
It was the Wake Forest game where they ended up coming back. We went zone right? 3 minutes. It didn't work.
Yeah, no, it didn't.
That's a real shock to the system for the players. I think if you tell Brogdon they're not doing well enough and they had to play zone, I think that's when the rage switch flipped in him and he just went nuts on people. No, actually, that was when he got dunked on by that Devin kid. He got dunked on. From there on out, that was like the start of the comeback.
Yeah.
Steely-faced was like, none of this. No more.
All right. Well, I think we should regroup with what we're talking about.
Maybe talk about this season.
About the past two games. Let's see. There was the loss at Syracuse.
And
over undermanned Louisville.
Okay. First thing I want to talk about.
Yeah, what's that?
Yes, they were down 3 guys. Virginia handily defeated that team at their own place with those 3 guys. I don't like as much of the times I've seen this undermanned Louisville stuff.
Well, they were undermanned, and it was...
They were. It's a true statement.
Mm-hmm.
If this was something where it was, like, the first time Virginia had beaten them in, say the win-loss records between the two with the matchups were reversed, then I think you got to really asterisk and say, like, hey, I don't know. We've had their lunch money for 5 straight games. Like, the fact that they played so well in the first half, I think was more indicative of the fact that it was just like complete randomness that Virginia hadn't seen yet with like, you know, I really like that VJ King guy. He's good.
He's good at scoring.
It's true. Yeah. He should get more playing time on offense. Also, if they're playing us, he should get lots of playing time on defense.
Yeah. I think that's the main complaint I hear from Louisville fans is that he doesn't do anything on defense is why he hasn't gotten as many minutes. I mean, it's not why they beat them, and they probably were going to beat them regardless because they've been beating the crap out of them for years at this point. I think it still factors into the overall dominance of the second half. I mean, they were playing a walk-on who kept trying to drive the ball against Isaiah, and that was hilarious.
That's not a good plan. I will say,
hit a 3, though.
I think that they should get the asterisk, like, they lost, but they were undermanned.
Yeah, like, they shouldn't take it as a
hey, you know what? We played who was put in front of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they want to go out and have a good time in Louisville before the game, then you know, that's on Mango and Dang.
Matt, how do you feel about the asterisks?
I, you know, it didn't show up when I looked at the ACC standings. So I don't care. It's one of those things that just sort of fades away, like how people will remember when they're looking at tournament resumes that Tech beat Duke, but forget that it was the game that Grayson Allen was suspended.
Yeah, that's fair.
No, that'll be in their primer that they get with all of the Duke-related information.
Well, yeah, because, you know.
It's like what games that Coach K was out. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, all the tough ones.
Kennard's hair dryer was broken before. No, he's actually really good.
He is pretty good. Also, on VJ King, guy's from Virginia, and we tried to get him. And we brought him. I remember his visit to UVA was a game where we smoked Louisville. And afterwards, he was like, I'm going to join that other team. I don't think is what we had in mind. But ultimately, I don't care that those guys weren't there. I mean, it was worrisome in the first half. I don't know if, to quote Caroline, if the team just wasn't trying hard enough.
How dare you?
but it was worrisome when we were down in the first half. But the second half went a bit more to plan, given that we were facing a basically seven-man lineup that still likes to press.
Energy is not effort.
Well, it sort of is.
No. You can have low energy but still be trying.
Yeah.
Effort implies that a lack of care is there. That's my biggest thing. Like, they were sluggish in the first half. There was, like, just – the whole vibe was weird that day. Like, I'm telling you. Pierce, you were there.
Yeah.
The vibe in the arena in the first half was just odd.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it was because it was, like, the weird – I think there's still a thing with Virginia fans, and I don't blame them at all, with – this, like, as soon as they said that Matthew, that Mango and Dang weren't playing, I think everyone was, like, myself included, kind of chuckled and were like, all right, so which walk-on's going to shoot, go for 30 points, like, and just go crazy, and it's going to be the game they lose, and we can't get anything nice because Syracuse or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think there was a little bit of that feeling in there. It's kind of the same, it had the same weird, like, when the football team lost the opener to Richmond. Right, that was Richmond, right?
Yeah.
Except the basketball team is good.
It's true, but it was like that feeling, that like hovering feeling of like, how is this going to go wrong?
Yeah, it was definitely the weirdest win over a top five team I've ever set.
Yeah, it was really weird. And it was just kind of, the fans don't know how to react when the team is losing. And I say that in the nicest way because... they don't know how to react when the team is losing because they don't see it often, which I am happy about and also extremely jealous of when I look back on, you know, when I graduated before.
Got that 10-year coming up.
Yeah, okay.
Got that ad in the mail.
Didn't really need to talk about that. No, it's going to be exciting. Anyone listening is coming up on their 10-year and go to reunion.
Okay.
No, I mean, like, I used to walk over to U-Haul and – scream for 2.5 hours and lose my voice, and they would have lost to Georgia Tech by 10. And that was, you can tell how long ago it was because Georgia Tech was good.
So you're saying the students weren't enthused enough.
There's not a lot of
the students that didn't have the right effort.
What did I do? What happened?
So the students didn't have enough effort.
Yeah, now the students didn't have enough effort. They stuck during timeouts, though. Can we talk about that, Who Crew? Stand. You got to stand the whole time. Halftime, you can sit down. You're all young. Right. Do it. But no, I think it was just a weird vibe. And it's kind of like when they see stuff happening and they see turnovers, they see these things that they're not used to. And it's kind of like, well, guys, what are you doing? And I get that. I do.
So you think the fans get disappointed to...
Yeah. They get a little complacent in the cheering sometimes when, you know, it's been more of a give us something to cheer about and we'll cheer for you rather than cheer to create something to continue cheering for, I think, is this long, rambling, endless cut.
I don't know. To me, the Louisville game just felt like, we were playing a small team that we paid to come play. You know, it was like, oh, we're down. We're not playing too great. And
for sure.
I know we're going to win by 20. So, you know, come on, guys, eventually.
It's kinda like
and then they did. So...
Like Oakland was there. You know what I mean?
It's not like they haven't been amped for.
No, no. And I'm not saying that. No, no. Cooker, I love you. You guys are great. It's funny. I think Fearless Leader, hashtag blessed, hashtag dream job, tweeted about it after the game and said, Virginia just beat a top five team and literally no one blinked an eye.
That's true.
And that's the thing. And I think the majority of fans, and part of that is because of the whole Virginia's Louisville's kryptonite or whatever that spiel that's been going on and how we've played them in the last few games. Uh-huh. But I think most people expected to win that game. And that's the thing that to me is like, holy crap. Like this is a whole new, I've seen so many different articles in the past few days. I think John Rothstein today posted something about how this is Tony Bennett's best coaching job this year, mm-hmm. because of the fact of losing Malcolm, Anthony, mm-hmm. Evan Nolte, Mike Toby, who's now an NBA player, like mm-hmm. losing four guys, 50% of which are now playing in the NBA, to just use that because it's technically true. And then dismissing the projected top scorer and still having an 8-3 record in not arguably the hardest conference because it is, but debatable on whether it's the toughest one ever type thing.
Right.
Yeah. And it's impressive. And I think that we need to take a step back sometimes and maybe put the Syracuse loss to the side and realize that good teams lose sometimes.
Sure.
Especially on the road to Hall of Famers. Just kind of look at what you're doing and I'm impressed. I continue to be impressed with this team. And I think that they've got a lot of basketball left to play.
Well, I think so too. I can't speak for Matt. Matt, you ready to throw in the towel after the Syracuse loss?
I mean, if we have to play them again, Syracuse should be favored by 30.
That doesn't make any sense.
Playing a team a third time is really tough.
I don't think that counts when
only play them once.
Losing seasons. I don't think that's how that works.
Well, I don't think
they'll beat us in the ACC tournament. And then...
I don't think that's true. I'll play them again. Whenever I think Syracuse is good. I think if we play them in New York, we could easily lose again. But I don't buy the whole. It's not the same as the Louisville kryptonite thing.
I want nothing to do with Syracuse.
And that
I want nothing I to do with Syracuse in an elimination game, like in a season-ending game. I kind of don't want anything to do with them.
Because
not right now.
Be pessimistic of their chances, or just because if they do lose, it's all the more same narrative.
Ooh. Yes, mostly that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
If you got to pick one, if UVA makes the Sweet 16 and you could have a matchup against Syracuse or West Virginia, which team would you rather play?
Syracuse.
I'd rather play West Virginia. this year Michigan State actually.
Oh God! I'd rather play Syracuse. I don't want to play Michigan State again.
By the time it gets to that point, Michigan State will have three 20-point scorers.
I'll play. You know what? I'll play Michigan State. We'll take on Michigan State.
Watching this NC State game, I'd want to play them.
Yeah. And when's that Pitt game? I hear they're terrible.
March 4th.
They only have one conference win.
Yeah.
Wait, is that still true?
Yes, it's still
true.
Well, they're beating
BC. See, we were just being nice.
I don't want to talk about Pitt. So let's talk about the upcoming game, which is still a ways away on the 12th. It's the Hokies in Blacksburg. Hokies play well against us in Blacksburg, usually.
Gross.
Certainly did last year. They won that game.
London was fouled.
Embarrassed them recently in Charlottesville. Do you guys know Tech is sub 500 against the spread? Yeah. Really? Yeah, there you go. 10 and 11. There's the stat I have for you.
Discuss.
Tech's looked good overall this season. Like, I think they're regarded as a bubble, but like on the good side of the bubble type of team in the ACC because they've won some ACC games. They have not looked that good at playing basketball recently to me. You know what I mean? Like, they beat BC by six, And then they came to Charlottesville and got absolutely trounced. Their other wins before that are one-point wins against Clemson and Georgia Tech. And, yeah, a win's a win, but they have not been playing to the level of their Duke beating capabilities. I mean, when Duke came to Blacksburg, they were throwing alley-oops. They were dicking around with a double-digit score. and then, of course, went on the road to Raleigh and lost by 30 points to a garbage state team. But, you know, like... the Hokie hype is a little high, and I mean this objectively, like outside of the rivalry, because I think I've been too friendly, and I have been supportive of at least saying Buzz Williams is a good coach because he is a good coach. But I don't think this team's that good. I'm not worried about the Blacksburg game, knock on wood.
Oof. Famous last words.
Yeah, tell me how worried you are, Caroline.
I am...
1 to 10.
I'm about a 6. I'll go 6.
All right.
6.5. Maybe 6. Close to 7. That's 6. Let's go 6.
Keep it at whole numbers.
I think that you're absolutely right. I don't think that, especially in playing the first time, after the last game, London Prentice made a good point to the media about how the second time you play someone is interesting, not only from, you know, on one side, you get to know their offense. It's funny because the players really do say things defensively first. So, you know, he's like, yeah, it's good. You know, we've been able to see their offense and we know what they're going to bring to the table type thing. And I love that that's how they look at a team. You know, like, how can we match up against them defensively? Mm-hmm. Hands down, Virginia's a better team. Sure. Yeah, it's, you know, it's not a thing where you'd look at it and but it's the ACC, and like you said, it's a total crapshoot, and who knows. But they played really, really, I really like the way Virginia handled them in Charlottesville. They just had a complete game. It was one of their better games of the season, I think. Capped off by the greatest play of the season, which was Jared Reuter blocking the ball back into Seth Allen's face as they tried to go for basket to get to 50 as time expired. And it was my favorite thing that's happened maybe a year so far. But I say all this stuff, I just don't know what to expect.
Yeah. Well, they need to do a good job on Lede again.
Yes.
Let's see, he had 12 points, a little bit below his average, but, you know, slower pace and all that. The thing they did is he collected some fouls and some turnovers that, you know, he took a little bit of a seat and really just wasn't the factor that he has been against the Hoos.
I mean, and he was the only person on their team that had an O rating over 100, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, that's impressive. Mm-hmm. Like Seth Allen and Chris Clark were both at 76s, and I think that Chris Clark was probably – the guy that I'm most scared of on that team, just because he's so athletic and he can do a little bit of everything. On the flip side, like everyone on Virginia's team who played, minus Jack Salt, little buddy, had an O rating over 100. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's all, you know, Isaiah had a great game. I think they do match up very well. And like we talked about a little bit earlier with the matchup zone, it's not as bad as Syracuse. So I think that they win this one, but it's a much closer game. I think we're talking more like a 6 or 7 point win.
And I think everyone would take that regardless. But
Matt,
how are you? Bob
has it at 7 point win. There you go.
Yeah, I'm a little worried as well. I mean, on the one hand, obviously the game in Charlottesville was great. I don't think Tech is going to go 3 for 20 from three at home. You know, obviously we lost there last year. The year before, I think we ended up winning by a point or 2 points in a sort of crazy comeback at the end. Mm-hmm. I was looking through, and I agree with you, Pierce, that even when they've won, they haven't looked great. Like, it's one-point wins against Georgia Tech or Clemson and, you know, like, a six-point win at BC.
Yeah.
But they've only lost one home game all year, so they're clearly a better team at Castle Auditorium or whatever that place is called.
Gymnasium, I think.
My favorite thing ever.
Now we're going to lose by 10.
But I think we win by 5. I do think we somehow end up winning, but you know, it's a Sunday afternoon game, so it's not like you're gonna have an issue getting students there, as even though they wouldn't any time that we play them. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be better. I think the game probably gets played with both teams in like the high 50s. I don't think we get to that 70-point mark. I think it's closer to a slugfest, which is how I think Tech would want it to be. I don't think they want to try and get out and run, because they, you know, they really play like
it's not very good.
They play like a 7-man rotation.
Yeah, true. Well, okay, I'll be the optimistic one. That's fine. But no, I mean, I don't expect more than a 5 or 7 point win necessarily. I just expect them to win. Maybe a little easier than that. We'll see. I do have a question for you guys. Talking about ACC play, and I know Darnes mentioned this a little bit earlier about the surprising result, maybe that they, you know, that they're sitting at tied for second place until FSU wins this game. With, you know, Nichols not playing and all that, there might be exceeding expectations that we've had, or in Caroline's case, hitting them. but what's with all this talk about, you know, UVA doesn't have any star players that are going to be first team all ACC caliber? Do you buy into that? Is London Piranhas someone who might sneak into that? I can't think. If it's not London, I don't know who it would be. But where do you see them in the overall part of the conference in terms of the production and the talent, just the what we're going with?
So let me jump on this before Caroline goes on a 7-minute ode to London and how great. Because I swear to God, if Jack is not making all ACC, Caroline. Whatever campaign you want, it's not going to happen. Look, I think that we might be the best. I think we might be the team that gets the most out of what they have by far. And I think that's been true with Tony for a couple years. And what's been great in the past few years is that the talent level has finally gotten to the point where when you're getting the most out of it, you can be a top 10 team in the country.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's changed. I don't think this team is as good as some of the teams we've had in the past. You know, you look at it, and you're right. We'll be a half game back of second and only a game back of first. But we're also, you know, Syracuse is a half game behind us. So it's not like there's not a ton of separation between us and, like, the sixth place team in the league.
Sure.
But I think we're one of the top two or three teams in the conference. That being said, I don't think we get anyone on the first team, all ACC team. I agree with you that if it's going to be anyone, it's London. But I think as UVA fans, we know how important he is to the team, and that he's really the only consistent guy that we can just sort of give the ball to and let him do his own thing. And he sort of judges when to take over and when to distribute, and he provides the veteran leadership. But his numbers, especially in ACC play, even his UVA pace-adjusted numbers aren't great.
Right.
I mean, they've been somewhat poor in some games, so I think you're going to end up with Joel Berry there. You're going to end up – somehow Grayson Allen will end up on the team. But you know, with Barry and Kennard and
Dennis Smith,
one of the Florida State guys. And now you're down to one spot that'll go to some guy whoever the hell it is on Pitt that dropped 40 points on
him. Oh, I mean, you think about them.
Wayne Bacon.
Yeah. Right. There's Michael a lot Young. Of. Yeah, I don't think we end up with a guy on there, and I don't think that's a bad thing. Unlike past years where I think we really could have gotten indignant about that, and did get indignant, I think. Could have and really did. I don't think that's necessarily the wrong decision this year.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with the reasons why, but I bet Caroline has a counterpoint.
Oh, now I feel like I need to provide said counterpoint. I think that there is a legitimate argument for London Perantis to make that team. to make first team. He has been outstanding. I don't know where this whole, like, his numbers in the ACC haven't been that good. I don't know if we're talking about the same person because he's been pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. I should have added it all up, but he's got 1, 2, 3, 4. He's got 9 double-digit games, including 3 in the 20s in ACC play.
Yeah.
Out of, what, we're 8-3? So out of 11 games, he scored in double digits 9 times. That's not bad.
It's not bad, but there are a lot of people doing that in the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just not on UVA.
Right, yeah, it's just we only have one of them. No, and that's not actually not true either. That's the thing that was driving me nuts about. I rewatched the Louisville game last night, and I actually really enjoyed the Sean McDonough, Dan Dakich, mm-hmm. Duo. Sean McDonough is my favorite, minus the, like, 5-minute commercial they did for Syracuse at the end, which was weird. but there was the only thing that I really – this time disagreed with Dakic on was he talked about how Devin Hall needed to do more. And I didn't really understand what he was talking about because I thought Devin's been fantastic. But anyway, I don't think that London makes first team. I do 100% agree that he's the only one on our team that should make first team. I don't really think you can make an argument for anyone else considering the level of talent in the league this year. Like, we just named a few and that didn't even include Ben Lammers or, anyone from Louisville. So there's probably going to be Donovan Mitchell will probably be on one of these teams. And should be absolutely. So I don't think that one, it's that big of a deal. And two, anyone is really going to get mad about it.
UVA Twitter's going to get mad about it.
People will get mad about it.
Please, the UVA Twitter mafia gets mad about anything that
involves. I am pretty excited remotely. For them to tweet all of the North Carolina media about it. I do think that Isaiah Wilkins has a legitimate claim for Defensive Player of the Year, however. Sure. Definitely should be on the all defense team. And what usually happens, see Anthony Gill, whatever, two years ago, they think, oh, who's someone on Virginia that's big and plays defense? Oh, okay. Yeah. That they should be on the team because generally folks that don't watch a lot of Virginia know that our defense is really good. So someone should be on that team. And I think the only one that's really stood out to outsiders would be Isaiah.
This year.
Yeah. Sorry. I think just rename it the Malcolm Brogdon Defensive Player of the Year Award.
Well, I will say, I think another thing that hurts London is outside of the games where he goes off from three, which have happened. He's sort of a, you know, a quiet scorer.
Yes.
He does get his points and he's leading the team. But those 18 points he scored against Louisville, I looked up at one point and saw he's 16 points and turned to my friend. I was like, I don't even remember him shooting the ball.
I know, right?
Because he was collecting some free throws finally. But also, he wasn't shooting it all that well percentage wise. Let's say, 2-for-7 from three, So he got his, and it just didn't seem like it. And
yeah.
I think that's sort of par for the course on those games where he's not going, 8-for-9 from deep or something absurd like that. So,
yeah.
And that's just his style of play, and everybody is well aware of that type of cool style of play for him. So, he's the most important player on the team, I would say.
Maybe
the league media doesn't recognize that as a first team all ACC caliber. I think you guys are spot on that the stats aren't going to back him up, and that's why, which is fine.
It just drives me nuts. I'm looking at the stats now. Like, Mariel's at 9.6 points per game. Devin's at 8.5. Isaiah's all the way up to 7.7. Kyle Guy's still at 7.6. Darius, 6.7. Like, these guys are right there. And the narrative, and it doesn't bother me that there's not three people averaging 12 points or 15 points or 17 points a game like they had last year, because the drop-off behind them, I think, was much more significant. Mm. because I know that it legitimately is the next guy up thing. Technically, Ty Jerome is averaging 3.4 points per game, but I can almost guarantee you that any Virginia fan right now wants him shooting the ball and has faith that he can put up more than 3 points per game. You know what I mean? Like, it really is. And you still, even listening to the commentators, it's like, but who does Virginia have that can really step up when it's not London? And I was like, so you guys literally haven't watched any games then? Because it's everybody.
Their point might be that it's not a go-to person, but they should follow it up with, other than maybe a game, there has been someone to step up. It's just always someone different.
Yeah.
Which is a little weird.
I guess it is weird. It's pretty weird, right? But I think it's so helpful in the sense that, like, this offense is actually pretty good. I know that people... I get frustrated with the pull-up jumpers, and there is something to be said about the number of times that the difference in the Villanova game between London and, say, Hart or Brunson was when those guys went into the lane to create contact and created contact, they had no intention of showing the ball or trying to shoot. Mm-hmm. They went to get the foul, and that's, you know, make of it what you will. London and Devin and Mariel will still try and make the shot, and their avoidance with the ball gives the impression that they're avoiding contact, I think is what one of the bigger issues is. And they constantly will try and, like, continue to score, and they're not getting the calls. Like, that is what it is, and we've talked about it last week or whatever, but 2 weeks ago, whenever we talked last week.
It was last week.
Oh, there you go. Look at us doing back-to-back weeks. But it's just, you know, like, it's... There's a different way that they take it in, and I think that's one of the things. They definitely create contact, and they definitely do not get some of the calls that they should get. I will still say that, and I stand by that from the Louisville game. There were times where you're just like, that is a foul.
That's going to happen, and they did at least get plenty of calls in the Louisville game.
Surprisingly, from the group that I thought would not be the ones to call things, but anyway, that's... That's Jamie Lucky to me. But.
Well, let's talk about the upcoming schedule. There are 7 remaining ACC games, plenty can move around. As Matt was alluding to, there is no safe lead, obviously, in terms of a top 4 seed or top 2 or really even top, I would say, 6 or so, especially considering they're playing Carolina twice, Duke once. Miami is a dangerous team, depending on where they're playing and what day of the week it is, I think. You know, at NC State, like, all these games, I mean, I'm not going to go down the entire list, but the next 4 games are within 8 days of each other. February 12th to February 20th. They have 4 games, 2 of which are on the road. That's pretty crazy, right?
Fart noises.
Matt, I'm not, like, out of line to be a little questioning of that, am I?
I'm not that worried about it.
Yeah.
We're going to lose all of them.
The good thing is, on the road in this case, is all of those games, the furthest away is at UNC. So on the road, everything's a 3-hour drive from Charlottesville, right? So they're not flying out anywhere. There's not going to be jet lag. We're not going to have to play Cal. The good thing about the ACC, and especially this stretch, which includes Miami but gets Miami at home, is that you're not really going all over the place. So the travel ideally shouldn't be that much of an issue. I'd be happier if it wasn't Duke and Carolina in back-to-back
work. Right.
Especially now that Duke seems to have sort of remembered how to play basketball.
Right.
For me, if we go 2-2 in this stretch, I what I can't figure out is what's an acceptable number, right? 2-2 seems too low for me. even with Duke and Carolina in there, when you consider that Miami at home is probably a win, we all 3 of us just picked us to beat Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech.
Which means we'll lose.
But so that means you've got Duke at home, and then I don't think we're going to win at UNC, but you never know. So is 3-1 the bar that they have to clear for us to consider this 8-day stretch successful?
Not for me. No, I'd be fine with 2-2, particularly with the closing stretches at State, then hosting UNC and Pitt. So I think you're going to pick up a couple there, potentially all three. At the road, and UNC is real tough. Hosting Duke is going to be real tough. And this, you know, in Blacksburg, yeah, I know, I think they're going to win, but that doesn't mean they're going to. And it doesn't mean I'm going to be furious with them or despondent about their chances to do better in future games if they do lose in Blacksburg. So I think 3-1 might be the Vegas expectation. I think they probably should be favored hosting Duke.
And yeah, they'll be favored hosting
in Blacksburg and hosting Miami. So I think it's a fine bar to set, but I don't think I'm going to be too disappointed. I don't know. I'll be disappointed if they lose at Tech, beat Duke and UNC, and then lose hosting Miami in that type of situation. That would be pretty absurd and disappointing, but you know what I mean.
That would be weird. Yeah. I think they kind of have to go 3-1. Not gonna lie. And there's first a couple reasons. One being just standings in the ACC, mm-hmm. and the other being this team for some reason is still kind of. I mean, they're ESPN just put out their first bracket watch or whatever mm-hmm. bubble watch, and we joked about it earlier about how the fact that we used to have to peruse that thing and look around and be like, oh, where's Virginia? Like, are they going to,
at the bottom.
Are they still in the need work to do or almost in or whatever, but they're in the first one as a lock and you're like, oh, okay, cool. All right. So I don't need to read this the rest of the year. But I do think that they kind of need a sassy pizzazz victory. One of those being Duke.
A sassy game.
Sassy victory. One where they beat a team that had a bunch of hype or has a bunch of hype. To play with the big dogs, you got to beat the big dogs.
Well, that Carolina game. Not,
yeah, that Duke
could very well be game day.
Oh, it will.
It's ESPN's 8 o'clock.
For sure, 8 o'clock p.m. Yeah. I think that they didn't have any home Saturday games because State Farm was like, we cannot give away a guaranteed $15,000 again to those kids when they make that four shot.
It's an interesting conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I might be at the Carolina game in the Carolina student section wearing American blue. So
yes, I'm going to be there.
That'll be fun.
We'll just wear bright orange.
Credential approved. Look at that. We're big time.
So we can see you.
But no, I think that 3-1 would be awesome. Because like I said, we think that we will be expected to win the Virginia Tech and the Miami games. I think we have to take, for seeding resume, if that makes sense. We have to take one of those Carolina Duke ones. Hopefully both. That would be awesome. But it's an unreal stretch to have no games in 6 days and then have 4-8 against at your rival, home against Duke, at UNC, mm-hmm. home against Miami. Like, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's a nuts stretch.
Right after that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And to hear
again, golly.
Yeah, they get this rest that's an unusually long rest the week before, so maybe that balances out a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see. Like, you just win in Blacksburg and go from there. I know that's how
exactly. Yeah, one at a time.
But even at least in terms of like my fandom, as long as they win that game in Blacksburg, if they were to drop hosting Duke and on the road in UNC, it's not like the world is over. It's not like, those are season-crushing results or anything right. of that nature. So certainly, hopefully we're talking about good things next week. I do think we need to switch up gears for our defend yourself position, because I don't have any issues with your power rankings this week, unlike I do some of the other writers for this blog. But we'll just go with the fact that you haven't seen The Godfather, which we're talking about today. So, Caroline, I want you to defend whatever it is you could possibly come up with for not seeing the first two Godfather movies. And Matt, I'd like to know what inexcusable movie you haven't seen. I'll share mine.
Wait a second. Carolyn, have you not seen the first two, but then you saw Godfather 3?
No, that would be awesome.
That would be hilarious. No, I just left that off because she doesn't need to see Godfather 3.
Okay.
So
I don't know. So it was one of those things where I think it's side effect of like what your parents watched or what your parents introduced you. Yeah, that's right. Mom, blaming you.
Hot dogs with ketchup.
They're good. Oh. Whatever. Mustard's gross.
Yeah,
It was just kind of one of those things that like, so I haven't seen Top Gun until I was in flight school.
That's not
what I'm saying. It's like, so I hadn't seen Rocky. I hadn't seen Goodfellas. I hadn't seen. So it was really funny. Shout out to my buddy, Chris Wenzel. We were EVA together and ROTC together. And then we were roommates in flight school with our other buddy, Eric. And he went on this whole tirade once about how I was un-American because I hadn't seen Rocky or The Godfather.
Okay.
And I was like, two films about Italians? What's happening here? So we didn't watch Rocky. We watched Rocky, but we did not get around to Godfather. So it's just one of those I still haven't. I mean,
so you didn't pick the best picture winning, best actor winning, like
regardless of
the best films of all time. Whereas I don't believe Top Gun was running.
The movie was so bad.
Academy Awards.
I mean, I get like all the like horse head.
Wait. Did you just call Top Gun bad?
Yeah, it's awful.
Top Gun 1 is the most realistic movie about life in the Navy.
No, that's Battleship.
Two, it has a phenomenal soundtrack.
Oh, that's cool. True. That is true.
Goose's death, spoiler alert. is one of the saddest on-screen movie deaths of all time.
I have another friend who listened to the like Goose dying theme when he was sad.
I think going on this. Top Gun is a phenomenal movie.
He's so bad. He's such an asshole.
Okay. Matt, what must-see film have you not seen?
So I was thinking about this, and the weird thing is, like, I love movies. So I've seen, like, all the big ones that you should see.
Okay.
Like Top Gun.
Yeah, like Top Gun. But then, like, also the ones that actually won awards, too.
Geely.
Yeah, I have not seen Geely. So
Caroline has, I say.
I actually have not.
Okay.
In terms of, like, popular sort of franchises, the one that I guess that sticks out for me is I've seen bits and pieces, but I've never sat down and watched any of the Terminator movies.
What? Okay, that's worse than mine.
No, it isn't by any stretch. It's not worse.
It's not.
Terminator 2, you gotta
go watch the first two, Matt. They hold up, in my opinion.
Terminator 2 and Aliens, I still maintain, are the only sequels that are possibly better than the original.
Okay, you haven't seen Godfather 2.
Of movies that I have seen, those are the only two that I maintain the sequels.
You should probably check out Godfather 2.
You also created
on Netflix.
I know.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2. Or the second or third Matrix movies, which really raised the bar.
They were awful. I didn't see the third one because the second one made me so angry.
The third one was better than the second one, I think.
I don't know what happened.
I don't think I've watched either of those since they came out in
theaters. Is it anyone? Is that something where someone's like sitting around on the weekend like, no, I want to watch
Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, just he's too busy doing John Wick 2.
Those get good reviews.
John Wick was a great movie. They killed that man's dog.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Is that what started the whole thing?
Yeah, he goes off because they killed his dog.
Dude, I can get on board with that.
Killing dogs?
No.
You heard it here first, everyone.
the appropriate rampage that would happen after someone killing my dog. As I sit here petting her so she'll be quiet.
Well, I Googled best movies of all time for Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm trying to, there are a couple that I don't recognize, like some old ones. The Third Man. I think I recognize that name. I don't know what it's about.
Is the Seventh Seal on there? I saw that.
No. But I'm trying to think of what, I haven't seen Schindler's List. And that seems like one that, you know, everybody has seen except Caroline, I'm sure.
I saw it.
Oh, okay. Is it good?
It was. It was a long time ago. It's very sad.
Yeah. I assumed it wasn't an uplifting. Yes.
Not really a
feel good flick.
Yeah, that's probably, at least in terms of like the classic, you know.
It's no Top Gun.
Right. Oh, wow. Godfather and Godfather Part 2 are literally 2 and 3 on IMDb.
Right. Hence the necessity of you.
My bad. I won't even go into my problem with Shawshank Redemption at 1, though.
You have a problem with Shawshank Redemption?
That's not my fave. I think it's slow overrated.
I mean, it's sort of the like classic every dude's favorite movie. You know? Like, it's not get that it might be a little played up, but it's a fantastic
Matrix at 17. I'm
the most overrated movie of all time is Forrest Gump.
Oh
what?
No!
How dare you talk about a good soundtrack?
It's a bad movie.
That is not true.
It's a bad.
There's some really good movies on this list.
I mean, that's not like a I don't want to eat queso terrible opinion, but it's still a bad opinion.
Caroline, were you just surprised that there were good movies on the IMDb top movies of all time?
No, but ones that I just hadn't thought of in a while. I do love that Indiana Jones Rage of the Lost Ark is number 36.
Here's a hot take for you.
Rear Window.
That movie?
Yeah.
Not Raiders of the Lost Ark. Well, actually, no. I can't say Raiders, but The Last Crusade is a better movie than any Star Wars film.
Any
of the Star Wars films,
but
none of them is as good a movie as The Last Crusade.
But where is Kingdom of the Crystal Skull better than episodes 1 through 3?
I don't even recognize that as a film.
Yeah, 1 through 3, I think, are better than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Of course, because they're films that have existed. Whatever exactly. You all are talking about. Yeah. It's never actually came
out. Wait, so better in what sense? Like,
it's a better movie. Overall, you know, like, how do you enjoy films? That. I think I find it more enjoyable. I find it more interesting, for sure. It's certainly better directed. That is, you can't argue Spielberg versus...
Lucas?
Lucas.
Yeah, I'll go Spielberg for sure on that.
So, but you know what I mean. Just in general, I think it's a better film. So, there's my
that's interesting.
Hot take.
I won't, you know, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, because I know, you know, you're right. People appreciate movies in different ways.
okay, fine. Don't argue with me.
But I don't know. I'm trying to think about how...
The Star Wars films are important cultural canon, yeah. And all, and you know, I recognize their impact, but
I'm trying to factor in like the impactful moments of like Luke, yeah. I'm your father, spoiler alert.
Yeah, I think Empire is probably the best one, right?
Yeah,
is it not, yeah. Like the common opinion?
I think so. I'm surprised how many people don't like the Ewoks. I really enjoy the Ewoks.
they're some of the worst movie characters.
I go 5, 6, 4 in my order, not gonna lie.
That's wrong.
After I'm all like nice about your opinion, like,
yeah, I mean that you're allowed to be nice. I don't doesn't mean I have to continue to support. I don't know. There's a way. Jedi. I don't know. I'm not that big of a Star Wars aficionado, so I'll defer to you. How about that?
That's fair.
All right, right. Well, we'll close on that happy note. And
after people stop listening,
right? Now, 15
minutes ago,
have comments.
We'll start talking about movies,
sci-fi movies. Then let us know. But if you have comments about basketball, you can let us know that too in the comments section.
Stay tuned for the continued lacrosse coverage.
Hell yeah!
Lacrosse season kicks off Saturday.
Yeah,
in Baltimore against #5 Loyola, the start of the Lars Tiffany era, which everyone should be pretty excited about. It's going to be awesome. It's if you're used to seeing the slow pace and limited possessions of basketball, you will not see that.
That's all about very true.
High possession, high pace. fast moving everything, transitions, two way middies. It's going to be awesome.
This is the air raid of lacrosse.
It is.
UVA for sure.
Cliff Kingsbury's coming.
More sports metaphors here. But yeah, we'll be back soon to talk about hopefully some more conference wins, hopefully in rivalry games. But until then, I'm Pierce, and for Carolina Matt, go Hoos!